You would turn in your Bibles to James, the first chapter, excuse me, and I'll be reading verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone. I want you all to know that the date on your outline is wrong. I was trying to slow down the month. It was going by so fast. So, not really. I just... fingers. Why me, Lord? I think we've all asked that question at one time or another. Why does it always rain on my parade? Why does it always happen to me? Why? The answer to this question can be found in an obscure passage where God is pictured as sitting over a refiner's fire, making silver of his people. This passage we find in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3. And it says, he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, to better understand the verse, we need to understand the process of refining silver. A silversmith will place the silver in a crucible and place it over a fire. And the silversmith will sit and watch to make sure that the crucible does not get too hot. He'll tend the fire. If it gets too hot, it will injure the silver. He will know that the purifying process is done when he can see his image in the reflection of that silver. The answer to why me is found in the silversmith's shop. God values our lives more than a prospector values his mother lode or an addict his addiction. In the 116th Psalm in verse 15, God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God wants the best for us. And just as the refiner's job is to increase the value of his product by removing impurities, God sees his job as removing impurities or sin from us. To understand better the events that occur in our lives, I want to look at how you make a cake. Now, my cake won't turn out like Bina's, but a cake nonetheless. You have your basic ingredients in every cake. You have your flour, your baking powder, shortening, raw eggs, sugar. Depending on the cake, you'd have other ingredients. And you mix these ingredients together. Now, by themselves, these ingredients are not very appetizing. But if you mix them together and you bake them for the proper amount of time, you'll actually have a very appetizing dessert. In life itself, we experience ingredients that are not very appetizing. And it is tempting oftentimes for us to tell God that he's ruining everything. At those times, we will find greater strength and peace when we acknowledge that God knows what he's doing. What kind of furnace does God the refiner use in our lives? He uses the furnace of affliction. of physical injury, of disease, of prolonged sickness, difficulty rearing our children, problems with parents, financial reverses, and many other overwhelming cares of life. Paul went through afflictions in his life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells us in verses 7 and 8, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan buffeted me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." These effective teachers, it's what we find in these sufferings. Effective teachers. And they're all part of that great school of life. But also during these times of afflictions, these times of trials, these times of purification, God watches to see that the fire never gets too hot, too injurious. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." This verse has two meanings. One, we face temptation and we face another route. We have a choice of two paths to take. If we choose to take the path of temptation, God still provides us an out. The outcome may not be exactly the way it would have been if we'd avoided it altogether, but there is a way out. There will be some penalties to pay, but we can get over the temptation. We can get through it. All the trials that we face, every single one, will not do permanent damage unless we turn from God. What's the purpose for all this? An old proverb says that a wise master does not waste a servant's time. No matter what set of circumstances we receive, God is not wasting our time. He's educating us. He's improving us. He's molding us. There was a young woman who was suffering greatly, and she confided in an older Christian woman, "If God loves me as you say He does, why did He make me so?" And the older woman replied, "He is making you now." God's purpose is to prepare us for heaven. God, the refiner, wants to make heaven attractive to us. In verses 21 through 23 in Philippians, the first chapter, Paul writes, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Paul was at a dilemma in his life. By living, Paul was furthering the cause of Christ. He was able to share Christ with the brethren. He was able to share Christ with those who needed to learn about Christ. That was his life. But he also knew that when he died, he would be with Christ. Caught between two, the desire to stay with those he loved in the time and the desire to go with the one who loved him. A philosopher once said, It is through our tears that we see the farthest into heaven. And as Charles read our scripture reading in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, that trials bring about patience, we can learn to endure. God also here wants to test our faith. If you were to read Genesis 20 through 21, you would see the trials that Abraham went through. And God was with him through the whole time. Abraham had to tell Sarah that, hey, while we're here, you're my sister and I'm your brother. It was a hard time. He was afraid that his wife would be taken from him and he would be killed. But in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, and it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, behold, I am always with you. He's always there. You know, the worthiness of a ship is not determined while it rides in the harbor. The worthiness of a ship is determined on how it rides the waves of a storm. Only then will you know the strength of the ship. Our faith is worthless. Worthless. If it cannot get us through life's storms. God also wants us to appreciate our blessings. If you look in Luke chapter 17, you read the account of the 10 lepers that Christ healed. And in verse 17, how many of those lepers came back and thanked Christ? One. Only one came back to the source of his healing, the source of his blessing, and thanked him. Only one. The others took off to go back to their merry little lives, whole, not counting their blessings. You know, domesticated bullfinches, if you've ever heard of a bullfinch, they've got a tremendous voice, a beautiful song. But in domesticating bullfinches, before they learn to sing, they put them in a dark room for several weeks. And then finally, after these several weeks, they let them go out into the sunlight. And it is said that their voices are more beautiful. The song is sweeter because of that time in the darkness. God often takes us into the dark room of suffering so that when we come back into life's sunshine, our song of praise will be sweeter than it was before, because we have endured. And God wants us to be able to comfort others. You know, it's really difficult to feel compassion for someone if we really don't know what they're going through. When we've walked a mile in their shoes, we can appreciate the blisters on that one's feet. Suffering allows us to be able to help others. Oftentimes we are made weak so that we might do things better. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, Christ says, for whoever exalts himself shall be abased, but whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Abraham Lincoln was quoted as saying, I have often been driven to my knees by the sincere conviction that there was no place else to go. But what does God hope to produce from all this, from all the pain and suffering? As we can see from the refiners working the silver, that the silver is ready when the silversmith can see his image in the reflection of the silver. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Paul writes here, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're not going to look like Christ physically, but we are going to be His mirror image when we get through these problems. We are going to be so refined that our character is Christ-like. We will be in His image. You know, a silversmith will make many pieces over the course of his life. But there will only be a few pieces that he would want displayed in his own home. God is fashioning us what he wants displayed in his house. He doesn't want weaklings. He doesn't want those who have never faced trials and overcome them. Because he knows that those who have overcome, who have borne up against the trials and tribulations of life, that they have learned the valuable lessons in life. And they have overcome those adversities. Ralph Waldo Emerson was once approached by an individual who was concerned. And this individual said, "Mr. Emerson, I am told that the world is coming to an end." And Mr. Emerson calmly replied, "Never mind. We can get along without it." When God is finished refining us, we will be happy doing without this world and its suffering. Think back at Paul. The beatings, the stonings, the shipwrecks, the prison, the snake bites. And he was a happy man, secure in his convictions. He didn't allow all the revelations that he faced to go to his head. Maybe that was the reason for the thorn in his side. A constant reminder to keep your feet on the ground. Can you imagine what we would think of ourselves if all we ever had was fun and prosper? Who would we rely on then but ourselves? Instead of God. The troubles with life, while they may be unbearable at times and cause us great distress, and at times totally break and crush our hearts, God will see us through every single time. Without fail, as long as we let Him help us. When we go it our own way, we will blow it every time. Every single time. If you're facing the hardships of life, you need to know that you are not alone. We can talk to God anytime we want. He is always there waiting with an ear to hear. And we need to keep in communication with Him. But if you have severed that communication process, if you have turned your back to God, you need to make that right with Him. You need to get things back on track. He can help us through all of life's miseries, all of the trials. He can guide us. If you're not a child of God, and you come to the realization there's more to life than what I'm living now, that God is the only answer. That through His Son, Jesus Christ, I can have the life I want to live. And God made it easy to accomplish that. It's a 6-step process. And once the process is complete, you can begin a whole new life. And we're here to help you with that process, to help you understand just what the Bible says. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, for whatever reason, won't you come together, we stand